This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han, and the top business stories of the day. We're going to be starting with a look online and digital disruption. Malaysia's first truly online trading platform, iSpeed.my, was launched yesterday, and it aims to capture up to 30% of the country's retail market share in the next 3 years. Is that ambitious or not?
Oh, yeah, certainly ambitious, and it's certainly another key milestone in the Securities Commission's digital agenda. So now, real quick, This Rakuten trade thing, they have formed a JV with Kenanga Investment Bank, and they have rolled out this website, this platform called iSpeed.my. So essentially, you can open it, and you can open this entire equities trading account online, as opposed to traditionally. And you and I had this experience where you had to go and sit down with an agent and fill out loads of paperwork. And I spent at least over an hour with this young lady. Though, what about you? Like, how long did yours take?
Well, maybe an hour, but I think it was actually a good thing because it slowed down the process. Sometimes speed is not the best thing. Really, it is.
Yeah, it is true.
Because you need to think carefully about why you're getting into this particular segment of the market in terms of investing. Have you kind of gotten all the rest of your financial matters managed well and before you start taking risks on the stock market or even, profiting from it? I mean, either case, sometimes slowing it down, But I must say, having it online is a good thing.
Slowing it down sometimes, it does apply for other factors of our lives. But moving right along.
Eating,
yeah, sure.
For sure. No,
but you raise a good point because, education is an important component of the securities agenda, the Security Commission's digital agenda as well. But when you have these kind of, platforms being rolled out, the idea is to then, make the capital markets more accessible, so that more investors could potentially, jump on this bandwagon. So in terms of talking about the potential growth, we've got a clip here from Yuji Kusunoki, who is the president of Rakuten Securities, talking about the potential growth, following this platform rollout.
Looking at Japan, 90% of the trading volume coming through the internet. And in the next 3 or 4 years, the market share through the internet brokerage firm coming to the 80% level. We believe, even in Malaysia, the market share for the internet-based trading, online trading, will go up so fast in the next 3 or 4 years.
Again, that was Yuji Kusunoki, president of Rakuten Securities. Over 3-4 years or so, by about 2020 or so, they hope to achieve about 30% of the retail market. Because now, if you look at some of the dynamics, when it comes to the equity investors here in Malaysia, according to Bursa Malaysia data, and the ones that we found were actually 2014, so not the latest ones, I apologize. But, when you look at the number or the share of retail investors versus institutional, you've got retail investors accounting for only about a quarter of market participation. So there is plenty more upside there, and perhaps these kind of products can encourage more retail investors to get involved.
There's also a demographic issue here. The that same data producing a sketch of who's investing. There's been a jump in the number of people under 25 who are investing. So that's also fairly interesting. So these are people perhaps coming out of universities, colleges, they're starting their careers, they're starting to earn, but they're already beginning that investment journey. Yeah. And that is quite extraordinary for me as a person who's, started that very, very late in life.
Right, better late than never, right?
Aided by things being online, I must admit. That much I
confess.
There
we go, exactly. So now you have these kind of initiatives, again, this digital agenda really coming online, and we have seen quite a bit of development over the last few weeks. So, for example, earlier this month, the Securities Commission introduced a framework, and I'm just going to read this, okay? This might sound a bit jargonish, to facilitate digital investment management services. That's basically a long-form way of saying robo-advisors and other such services. So you have the kind of framework being put into place. Then also, earlier this week, you had the SC then having a task force that, basically is rolling out various initiatives to encourage more ETFs. Those are exchange-traded funds. All that to say, these are various asset classes, or perhaps these are various channels whereby investors, can go about and, invest. So it's not just limited to your conventional stocks and property and whatnot, but in the capital markets, you've got, the likes of perhaps ETFs and robo-advisors, certainly, and also with this Rakuten trading.
You're hungry.
I'm hungry. It's time for brunch. They're not open yet, are they? But anyways, perhaps this Rakuten platform, they're now whetting the appetite of retail investors.
Okay, so the question, of course, is, investor education. That seems to be central to this. Do we have, what else is available?
In terms of the digital initiative, I understand that there will be a few more announcements being coming out. But, in developing the local capital markets, we have covered this, recently, whereby there's talk of opening up an SME market, right? We've got the main market, we've got the ACE market, and potentially the SME market, whereby, small SMEs can then list and, access funding and access capital through this equity channel. You've also got talk about how perhaps there could be Islamic shares or iShares, perhaps shares that are pegged with the Sharia compliant assets, for example, or the Sharia compliant operations of certain banks, for example. So you have those kind of developments in the pipeline. So I think we pretty much have to brace ourselves. And what I think it's exciting, right, that we could perhaps see more of these developments coming up. But nevertheless, I think education, like you rightly pointed out, is very, very important. Now, it's not just in keeping with the theme of digital disruptions or just disruptions as a whole. So it's not just in the capital markets, apparently the telco sector as well. So we had news yesterday that Cellcom and also Sony Ericsson, they are trialing 5G here in Malaysia.
This is kind of the lab scenario, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we got 2G, 3G, 4G. So now apparently 5G is being trialed in Malaysia. So, obviously the first question is, what is 5G? We have on the line here Karimjit Singh, who is the founder and CEO of Digital News Asia. So good morning, Karimjit. So like I alluded to earlier, question is, what is 5G and do we really need it?
An evolution in the our mobile experience from when we started with 2G, and then consumers started hearing the term 2G only when 3G was being launched, right? So they had to set the context for 3G by saying, hey, what you're using now is 2G back in the mid 1980s, 90s, right? So now 5G is just a promise of faster speed. You're right. It's a foundation, and it's all about speed, but speed then is related to user experience. And speed is a platform, okay? On that platform, then, you can build better products and better services too. That's the promise. But right now, let me ask you, have all of us even realized the promise of 4G?
That's a very good question, yeah. Karimjit, because, I think a lot of us as consumers are made promises about what we're going to have. But how many of us are actually even monitoring the speed levels that we're getting? We're just sort of, unless it really is very slow, we're just taking on faith that what we're paid for is what we're being delivered.
Well, I think Karimjit raises a good point, right? It's about the user experience, right? Often it can be patchy at best, depending on the location and depending on the coverage, though. So Karimjit, how do you think this will change the telco landscape, say, in terms of really ramping up the end user experience?
This will not change the telco landscape for Malaysians yet, not for the foreseeable, 4 or 5 years at least. Because remember, this is actually a lab test, the nation's first 5G lab trial. So it was not a trial in a commercial area, even though you can pick selected commercial areas and put up the 5G infrastructure where it's very strong and there are only 20 users, so you can report great data to the public. No, this was a lab trial. So this is just a branding and marketing exercise right now by Cellcom and Ericsson. That's all this is.
Karimjit, I want to ask you how this relates to the aspirations for Industry 4.0 in Malaysia, because with the trends towards increased automation and such, what really is required is reliable connectivity at speeds that make sense for all these new monitoring systems and robotics. Are we even close to that? Apart from the the retail side of it and consumer experience. What about industry and 5G?
No, that's still far away also, because even right now you've already got IoT. People already talk about in the manufacturing 4.0, right? And you just, right now, even 4G LTE speeds are good enough for that. You can see already there's data out there on which countries are advancing in terms of using adopting manufacturing 4.0. They're all mostly in the West. China is taking some steps there. Nobody ever says that, oh, we got to wait till you've got 5G. It's already now happening without waiting for this 5G utopia. So it will not move Malaysia, you know, further ahead in 5G, in manufacturing 4.0. Because you need the businesses to adopt, to change their internal processes. It's independent of the network speed if you want to adopt manufacturing 4.0 or not.
So if you're saying that it's not really going to move Malaysia forward in that sense, so really who's leading this agenda then? Is the government leading the agenda or the private sector? Or because, I mean, I don't know, did Malaysians ask for this?
The government has already paved the way, right? So you can, if somebody wants to launch 5G now, they can, but it's just not ready yet. And right now, you already got so many things going on with 4G. You've got, you know, Selangor with the smart Selangor initiative, and even Sarawak now wanting to come up with a digital Sarawak initiative. Nobody says, you know, when you talk about these things, let us wait till 2020 when 5G is the overlayer. You already can do all these things now. The GSMA, which is the association for all the mobile operators, they came up with a smart city benchmark back in 2013. There was no mention of speeds, because speeds is a given. Even with like the city of Barcelona, they've got 500 kilometers of fiber, crisscrossing the city, and they're already one of the smartest cities in the world just using fiber. There's no talk about us using 5G or even 4G before we can introduce smart city services. So if you read the whole press release, getting back to this, it's a lab test, okay? And it's a branding initiative. And, there's one sentence there that says, Celcom and Ericsson are set to drive the technology innovations in Malaysia, supporting the government's Digital Malaysia vision that calls for creation of, blah, blah, blah by 2020. But we're already moving ahead towards the digital economy even now. Even with the patchy 4G that you guys were talking about, right? Our user experience is still not consistent. But even despite that, we're moving ahead in the digital economy. You see, like the Sun Insurance and U-Mobile, they didn't say that we're going to launch it when we've got strong 4G, right? You're already launching so many digital initiatives now. Nobody ever mentions that our service is now in beta form, very raw. When we get real 4G, we'll get better, correct? It's already, all these services are already being launched now, even with the current speeds that we have, which are not good enough for Malaysia's ambitions to be a world-class, digital economy.
Thank you very much, Karamjit. That was Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. We're coming up to the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.